My name is Marlon. Welcome to my podcast. You can find a blog post that accompanies this message on PastorMarlon.com. That's PRMARLON.com. I am the pastor of the Park Avenue Seventh-day Adventist Church, located on 2285 East Park Avenue, Valdosta, Georgia. You can also find us online at parkavchurch.net. That's PARKAVECHURCH.net. This is part two of our series, God with Us. It was recorded live at our church on December 16th, 2017. On our last episode, we looked at the creation account and how there's evidence there of God's desire to be with us. On this episode, we will be looking at the book of Exodus and the impact that God's presence should have in our lives. Now I'm going to skip to Exodus because I find that there is a very clear example of God wanting to be with his children that gives us hints of what ultimately is fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, which we'll talk about next week. So we're just prepping and preparing to talk about the birth of Jesus, but we're giving you this background so that the birth means even that much more. And before we jump into that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have these stories available to us today. Lord, as many people that try to destroy the Bible, burn it, bend it, Lord, it's still around and it's still touching lives and transforming lives. And we pray that as we study it this morning, that it will transform our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the scripture reading, we read from Luke chapter 1. And this was the message that the angel gave to Mary. You're going to have a son, and this is a special son. He's coming from God, and this is the one you've been waiting for. Now we're going to take a trip back to the Old Testament, to where this whole thing began. We talked about it last time I spoke, and this week we're going to share a little bit more. You see, the people of Israel had been in Egypt for a while. And now it was time for them to leave. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 13, they were being oppressed in Egypt. The Pharaoh that was in place did not know Joseph. He was not kind to them. He was not very happy about them. And by the way, these people, the Israelites, they were multiplying and growing so strong, they were starting to become a national threat. He says, we can't have this. We need to oppress them. But the more he oppressed them, the stronger they got. And eventually, it got so bad, he decided to kill the male-born children. At this point, the people start crying out to God like never before. And the Bible says that God remembers them, and he raises someone to bring them out of Egypt. And I'm just giving you a brief overview. God comes in a mighty way. There's 10 plagues. And finally, the Pharaoh decides to let the people go. And this is where we pick up the story with their journey out of Egypt. So Exodus, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there, chapter 13, starting with verse 17, it says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of what? The wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth to the and encamped in Ethan at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before his people. Now, isn't this amazing? Talk about God with us. Talk about God's desire to make his presence felt among his children. God was visibly present with the children of Israel as they're coming out of Egypt. God is taking them in a way that will cause them to avoid wars. He's bringing them through the wilderness. They can see God. They can look up during the day and see what? A cloud, giving them shade. If you're in the desert, you appreciate some shade, right? We're here in the South. We know what it's like when to have a hot day. And they had their cloud over them, reminding them God is with them. During the night, it gets very cold in the desert. What did they have during the night?
Fire.
Pillar of fire, keeping them warm, scaring away predators. Just a constant nightlight so they wouldn't have nightmares, right? Just this presence, this warm, glowing presence of their God right there with them. We read these stories, and many of us, you know, we wonder in our minds. I mean, I'm assuming you do because I do, right? So we wonder, man, if I had been alive back then, oh, if I could look up and see God's presence as a cloud above me, if I could look out my window and see the presence of God as a pillar of fire at night, my faith would be so strong. Oh, I wouldn't be afraid of anything. Oh, I would have no doubts. I would always trust in God if only I could visibly see some representation of God throughout the day. Don't we wonder like that? It must have been so much easier to trust in God back then, right? Because they could see the cloud right there, reminding them, God with us. The same way that we say, well, if I was around the New Testament time when Jesus was walking the earth, surely I would believe. Right there, visible, tangible presence, you know, God with us. And we say, oh, it's so much harder now in the 21st century. You know, God is not visible right now. I can't look out my window and see the cloud or the pillar of fire. It's a lot harder to believe nowadays. Because God is not as close to us. Or is he? You know, we keep looking around ourselves and we say, oh, it's easier for that person. It's easier for that person. It was easier back then. Oh, it would be easier if. And we're always thinking of ourselves in the worst situation. Oh, it's just so hard for me, Pastor. You have no idea. So we read this story of the people of Israel coming out of Egypt. They had seen the wonders. I mean, the world would be talking about this for years to come. 40 years later, when they come into the promised land, people are still afraid because they heard about the way that God worked through Israel and with Israel and when he brought them out of Egypt. Talk about physical, tangible proof of the existence and the power of God. They had it. Plenty of reason not to doubt. And we think if only we could experience that in our lives, then we wouldn't doubt either. Then our faith would be stronger. Except that the story continues in chapter 14. Now, an interesting thing happens in chapter 14 because as Israel is leaving by the wilderness of the Red Sea, eventually they find themselves, you could say, between a hard place and a rock, all right? Between a rock and a sea. They're there and there's the Red Sea in front of them. Mountains to the side. And then, lo and behold, Pharaoh changed his mind. You know, Pharaoh was a proud man. He just lost his free labor. He's starting to realize the economic impact of having all of those Israelites leave Egypt. And he says, what was I thinking? How quickly we forget what God has done, right? Says, I'm going to go out there with my army, and I'll just bring them right back here, and things will be like they were before. So let's take a look at our Bibles in Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to pick up reading from verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Let's talk about this for a little bit. When they were slaves, they cried out to the Lord. God came to rescue them as an answer to their prayers. Now, our expectation a lot of times is that the moment I choose God, right? The moment I give my heart to Him, the moment that I say, Lord, you know, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to start going to church. We expect that God, in return, will take away all the challenges. Right? We may not say it out loud, but deep in our heart, we think, okay, now life is going to become like a million times better. Because now, you know, I'm following God. And if I'm following Him, then He has to do whatever I want. Right? We think that the moment that I accept Jesus into my heart, now God has to obey me. We may not say it, but we kind of expect things to go that way. Right? Pastor, why isn't God answering my prayer the way I want Him to answer it? Now, why is He taking so long? We have all these questions. Why isn't God obeying me? I'm following Him. It's like, no, you follow God. It's not God follows you. But we have this idea, and the children of Israel now are saying, man, life was better as a slave. Can you believe that? But how many times do we feel like, man, the moment I begin to follow Jesus, there are all these problems. I mean, what's the benefit of following Jesus if there's still problems? What's the benefit of having God on our side if the Red Sea is in front of us and Pharaoh's coming up behind us? What good did it do to follow God? And some of us, we begin our spiritual journey, and at the first sign, hint of hardship, I mean, the hardship hadn't even arrived yet. It was coming. They could see it coming, and they started complaining, oh, if only God had left me alone in my old life. Oh, why did Jesus even bother saving me? You know, life is still difficult. Life is still hard. And we say, Lord, why don't you just leave me back where I was before I met you? And we begin to complain because of a false understanding of what life would be with God. And if we would only read the Bible, we'd see all these examples of faithful followers of God that had to face obstacles and challenges. The people of God coming out of Egypt, they had just done 10 amazing things. They had evidence of God's power. They could look up and see evidence of God's presence. And thinking about this, I wondered if the only thing they were missing was evidence of God's character. You see, you get to know character over time. I can see someone right away and say, okay, this person is strong. This person is powerful, right? This person is present. Is this a good person or a bad person? I don't know. Only time will tell. Because we can fool people for a little while, right? I mean, you can seem like a nice guy or like a nice lady for a little while. It's when you're in it for the long haul that you find out what the person is really made of. So they had evidence of God's power. They had evidence of God's presence. But this relationship was new. They don't know. Is God reliable? Is He always going to be there for us? Is there a limit to His power? Like, does He run out? He did 10 pretty amazing things. Is He running low on power? Like, they don't know. I guess if we could go back and ask them, they would say, oh, if only I could be a believer in the 21st century. Oh, they can look back and look at God being faithful throughout history, years and years and years. I mean, there's the Bible, there's all these stories, there's all these books, there's all these testimonies. They know for sure God is faithful. If only I could be a believer in the 21st century, oh, it would be so much easier. Oh, then I would never doubt, because I would be able to look back in all these stories of how God came through in amazing ways. There they are. They have no doubt that God is powerful. They have no doubt that God is present, but they are terrified because they're still not sure what God is like. The Egyptians are coming and they don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes we have the temptation to behave in the same way. Here we are, God has delivered us. 2017, I mean, we can look back at sometimes, at some points in this year, where we thought we were not going to make it this far. Where we thought, Lord, this is it. Maybe we were in the hospital. Maybe there was surgery. Maybe we were in school and there was this one professor, this one teacher who was just unreasonable. There is no way I'm going to pass this class. Maybe some of us were having family issues. Maybe some were waiting for an adoption process, not sure if it was ever going to come through. And then we find ourselves right here. The year is almost over. God has brought us through. God is amazing. And we share these blessings and we share these praises. And then sometimes at the first hint of a challenge for next year, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm not sure if God's going to come through again. Why do we do this to ourselves? Can't we just look back and look at God, look at His consistency, look at His love, look at how He has come through, and then trust in Him because of who He is to continue being who He is. Amen. We should know by now that He doesn't run out of power. We should know by now that He doesn't run out of love. And if He was faithful in the past, if He has been faithful in our lives, if He called us out of a life of sin to a relationship with Him, He's going to continue and finish the work that He started, because after all, it's all about God. You know, when we get scared and we're tempted to complain and say, God, it was better if You had just left us the way we were before we even met You, it's important to remember the words that Moses says on Exodus 14:13. The people come to Moses and they have all these questions. Now, here's the thing. Moses, he has spent some time with God. There's something in the Bible about having a wilderness experience. You see, Moses had grown up and gotten the best education the ancient world had to offer. The universities of Egypt. He learned about math. He learned about science. He learned about leadership, war, martial arts. All these things, right? Moses could take somebody out without any issues. I mean, he was smart. He was developed to lead. There was one problem, his temperament. A little bit of a hothead. So God took him out of Egypt. Let him spend 40 years taking care of sheep. That mellowed him out a little bit. And then God said, okay, now you're ready to lead My people. We have the same thing with Abraham, called out of the city. Abraham, let's go camping. I'm going to learn about Me. It's amazing how there's all these Bible heroes, the children of Israel, where God takes them and has them be in the wilderness for a little while, away from the cities, so we can learn to depend on Me. So we can, you know, let's take away these distractions, let's develop our relationship. Because when you're camping, man, you depend on the Lord. It's easy to be self-sufficient when I'm in my house. And I have my food stocked, and I have my water, and I have everything that I need. Oh man, this is good. When you have nothing, then you really depend on God. You start to talk to Him a lot more often. You start to develop this relationship. And we see King David out taking care of sheep. Can you imagine? He was there as a young boy taking care of sheep. He had to deal with lions. He had to deal with bears. You could say, man, this is not right. Where's the police, right? That these parents are abusing this child. Why is he out there by himself taking care of sheep? It's dangerous. But because of his wilderness experience with the sheep, David was the only one that trusted enough in God to face a giant. Do you see the connection? The wilderness experience, learning to trust in God, and then facing challenges you would never have the courage to face if you had not gone through these little experiences in the wilderness. Amen. Elijah, same thing. Spent some time depending on birds to bring him food. Later he was able to pray and fire came from heaven. Jesus, right after his baptism, before he begins to preach, 40 days in the wilderness. Some of us have spent some time in the wilderness this year. Some of us might be spending some time in the wilderness right now. But if we can learn to depend on God, we'll find out that it really doesn't matter what the challenges are. Because we learn like Jesus, that man shall not live on bread alone. It's not about just me getting for myself what I need. It's about depending on God and God providing for us. As we were talking about during prayer meeting, as people were sharing, God has provided for me in a way that I could never provide for myself. Things that I could never do, God has done for me. So if you go back to the story, Moses has spent some time with God. He was familiar with God. And look at what he says to the people. When they come to him crying and complaining and saying we should have stayed in Egypt as slaves, Moses says to the people on Exodus 14, verse 13, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see what? The salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall not see again. You shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Amen. So what is the difference of being a Christian, of being a believer, if there's still trials? If there's still difficulties, if there's still challenges, you know what the difference is? The Lord fights my battles. Amen. Now, I can get nervous and complain and cry and do all those things, or I can trust in God. Say, "Lord, I have done my part. I leave the rest to you." The children of Israel were able to watch and see God deliver them in a mighty way. And if we are honest with ourselves and we look back in 2017, we're going to see we did a lot of worrying that didn't solve anything. But at the right time, God came through. And if we can only learn this lesson, that we may not see the cloud nowadays, but God is with us. Jesus came as tangible proof, and then God sent us the Holy Spirit as a reminder that God is with us. So this holiday season, as you see Christmas trees and balls and lights and things and presents and gifts, and people are arguing over saying Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays or whether or not you should have a tree or what's the right date. Despite all of those conversations that are going on, I want you to think. I want you to remember that God really, really wants to be with you. He has done everything. He even sent His Son. Now the question is, do you want to be with Him? Do you want to develop that relationship with Him? Will you take some time to read this book and find out what it's like to walk with God? Because sometimes we forget. And we read these stories of people long ago struggling and having God deliver them. And we can say, you know what? It's the same God today. God will deliver us. He will fight our battles. God wants to be with us. But He will not force His presence, but He makes it available. Now it's up to us. Do we invite Him? Do we accept Him? Do we embrace Him? Because He promises that He will fight our battles for us if only we want to stay and remain in a loving relationship with Him. Amen.